melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than my unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
I'm not a sheep in the middle of the storm.
Welcoming Pastor's daughter, Bree. Thanks for being with us here today. Yes, please. Perfect. Thanks, Jamie. Good morning. As Pastor, well, not Pastor Jamie, as Jamie said, I am the pastor's daughter, and it's an honor to be here with you guys. I first just want to say thank you for bringing my dad much, much closer to where I live. So that's been a huge blessing for us. And I know that he genuinely loves being here with you all. You guys are so healthy, and I am so thankful that you are taking care of my dad. So thank you very much. Oh, yes. And of course, my mom and grandma. I can't leave them out. I think they're in a much better place, and again, it's just an honor to be here with you and to celebrate him with you all as well. So he has shared with me that you all are working on healing, healing church hurt, healing relationships, whatever that might look like. It's healing, and healing can be difficult. So first of all, I'm super encouraged that you guys are taking those steps to heal, because that is important. Too often, our culture wants to stuff that stuff deep down inside and pretend that it isn't there. And when we don't heal, we tend to bleed all over those who didn't hurt us, right? So it's super important that you guys are taking that step. But like I said, it's not an easy process. In fact, sometimes it can be downright painful. A few months ago, the end of summer, I was chopping a big head of cabbage and trying to be mom and talking to my mother-in-law. I think she was doing the dishes. And, of course, multitasking with a butcher knife, not the best idea. So I ended up cutting my finger pretty badly. And we spent about a half an hour trying to get it to stop bleeding. That didn't work out. So we ended up going to urgent care. And thankfully, I didn't need stitches, but they did glue it together. And in that process, they had to sanitize the wound. So I'm thinking, you know, hydrogen peroxide, the orange iodine from mom's old cupboard, right? Like, I can handle that. Oh, no. It was not that. It was much, much worse. And I actually, when they put it on my finger, I actually screamed out loud, which is not in my character to do. Almost swore, held that in, thank you, but it hurt really bad, and I've given birth twice, just so we know, like, that hurt bad, and, but that pain was necessary for the healing to take place, and so sometimes God is going to take us through some painful things in order to heal us. Some wounds that he gives us are necessary for healing. John 10:10 reminds us that Christ has come that we might have abundant life, and abundant life includes that healing. So God is going to honor your steps towards the healing process. But the enemy, on the other hand, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're healing, he isn't winning. And so spiritual warfare, my friends, is a very, very real thing. And as you take these steps towards healing, I want to give you some tools to prepare for the battle that lies ahead. Because there is a battle coming if you're not already in one. That battle may be corporate. The enemy may come against the church as a whole. Or that battle could be against individuals. We all have our own battles all the time, right? When you're taking significant steps towards healing and taking steps towards what God wants for you, some of those battles may intensify, be like under a magnifying glass. Some things that you thought you had dealt with may come back up again. The enemy is going to use what he can to prevent you from taking those steps forward. So we need to prepare for battle. If you want to turn in your Bibles today, we'll be reading from 2 Chronicles 20. I'll kind of be jumping all over the place here, but I will try my best to keep you with me throughout the chapter. So again, that's 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to start with verses 1 through 4. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, together with some of the Meunites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast number from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom has come to fight against you. They are already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi." Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah, who gathered to seek the Lord. They came even from all the cities of Judah to seek him. So in this chapter, we're going to see the response that Judah had when faced with an unexpected battle. And there's three things of note here. First, they sought the Lord. Then they worshiped the Lord. And finally, they obeyed the Lord. And so those three things, we're going to dive deeper into those. So first of all, Judah and Jehoshaphat sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. Now, I want to point out here that it does note that King Jehoshaphat was afraid. But in that fear, he did not gather up his army and tell them to get ready. He didn't run and hide. His very first response to that fear was to seek the Lord. Elizabeth Elliot had this to say about fear. Fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us. Jehoshaphat recognized that if it depended on them, they were done. And so he knew they needed divine intervention. And so he sought after that intervention. First of all, he gathered everyone together. Friends, if you are facing a battle, don't do it alone. It doesn't matter if that battle is one of sickness or if it's temptation. If you're struggling with an addiction, seek help with the church, with your people. Find those people and gather together. In Matthew, of course, we are reminded, for where two or three are gathered, I am there in your presence. He is there. And when we come together, there's something special that the Holy Spirit does to just become that power that we need. Secondly, he called for a corporate fast. So everyone was fasting together. The Bible tells us repeatedly to be fasting and prayer. And that even in the New Testament, there were demons that would only come out with fasting and prayer. And so fasting is a significant part of fighting our battles. When you're up against something and you feel like you can't go on, think about fasting, taking that time to really spend in prayer and fasting. And of course, prayer. In verses 6 through 12, there's a huge section of prayer there. And most of that is just acknowledging God for who he is and what he has done for them. They're reminding God as much as they're reminding themselves, this is what you've done for us so far, but we need you again. So verse 12 reads, "Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this vast number that comes to fight against us. We do not know what to do, but we look to you." So they were acknowledging their own weakness, acknowledging that they were powerless. We don't know what to do. You are our only hope. Today we have other ways to seek the Lord that they didn't necessarily. We have his word, right? I left my Bible sitting on the floor down there, but we have his word. And we should be seeking him in his word at all times, especially when we're facing big battles. And we should be seeking wise counsel. If you're not sure what the word is saying, come talk to your pastor. I know for a fact he'd love to talk to you because he loves to talk. But he especially is passionate about talking through problems and solving issues with the Lord. So if you need that additional help, it is wise to seek counsel from those who are mature in the faith. Secondly, we need to worship the Lord before, during, and after the battle. Once the Lord responded to the prayers of the people, and I'm going to jump into that response in just a bit, the people responded before the battle was ever won with worship. From the end of verse 17, "Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." Then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. Then the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, shouting loudly. We need to be thanking God for the answer before it ever comes to fruition. Praise him in the storm, right? Praise him before we see the miracle. They led their march into battle with worship. Verses 20 to 23. In the morning, they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." Then he consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever." The moment they began their shouts and praises, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir who came to fight against Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites turned against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely annihilated them. When they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy each other. Belief and worship go hand in hand. Jehoshaphat had told the people as they were headed into battle to believe in the Lord, to believe in what he has said. And instead of putting his best men on the front lines, he put those who were going to praise and worship the Lord. And so they were worshiping as they went into battle. And the moment they began to sing is the very moment that the Lord destroyed the enemy. So worship is a weapon. In the book Ultimate Exodus, Danielle Strickland writes, "Sometimes you sing because you believe, and sometimes you sing until you believe, and both are good." That's because worship shifts things. Worship is warfare, a confrontation of spiritual power realigning us with truth. Worship helps us imagine a better world. It is perhaps what worship was designed to do. The longer we worship God, the more we can imagine a better world. And I had that while we were singing So Will I today. Just imagining the world as he intended and what we will eventually get to see again. Worship is a weapon. It is warfare. It will shift things. If it doesn't shift things out here, it's going to shift things internally and help you to believe. We've seen in the Bible before, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And part of that help is worship. Worship will help you get that belief. We sang Raise a Hallelujah earlier, which I had asked Jamie for, and I appreciate that so much because I thought it fit just so well with this story. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemies, in the middle of the mystery, when we don't understand, when we're not sure what's going on, when we can't see a way out. Raise a hallelujah louder than our unbelief, so that heaven will come and fight for us, which is exactly what happened in this story. I am going to have Brock share a video real quick with you. The story behind Raise a Hallelujah is very much so connected to this idea of worship as warfare. So just a 2-minute video, we'll share that short story, and I think we're going to sing it again after the sermon, and so I just wanted to connect that for you as well.
Probably were part of this miracle. Christmas airlifted to intensive care, and we began to fight for Jackson's life. How many of you guys joined in that fight and that symphony of prayer that rose up for a little boy? And a couple weeks into the fight, we got a text one night from Joel that they weren't sure if he was going to make it through the night. And as soon as I heard and read the message, it was like this giant of unbelief stood in front of me. And I just thought, Jackson's going to die tonight. We're not going to see the miracle. And as this giant stood in front of me, all of a sudden, out of my gut, this song started coming out. Right in the face of the giant. The little boy picked up and took the giant's head off with. And as we watched this miracle happen in Jackson's body, it was like this giant of unbelief was falling. And our community just began to sing this song. It was just one note in the symphony of prayer rising for his life. So I want to teach it to you this morning. Let's sing.
Weapon, warfare, that is worship. Worship is our weapon. And again, the people worshiped when the battle was won. Verses 26 through 28. They assembled in the valley of Baraka on the fourth day, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, that place is still called the valley of Baraka today, which means blessing. Then all the men of Judah and Jerusalem turned back with Jehoshaphat, their leader, returning joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. So they came into Jerusalem to the Lord's temple with harps, lyres, and trumpets. How easy is it to forget this part? When the battle is over, when all is done, and we are feeling so much relief, how easy is it to forget that we needed God the whole time? That He's the reason we made it through that battle. And so we have to remember at the end of those battles, when victory comes, whose victory that it is. And we need to remember to worship Him. And the last and final step of preparing for battle is to obey the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense. We see throughout Scripture, over and over again, God gives instructions that don't seem to make a lot of sense. Washing leprosy off in a river, building a giant boat in the middle of the desert, getting money from the mouth of a fish, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's go back to the Lord's answer to their prayer, which is verse 15. And He said, "Listen carefully, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will see them coming up the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley, facing the wilderness of Jerul. You do not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." He told them they wouldn't have to fight, but to still prepare. Seems a little odd, right? Twice here, the Lord says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." The King James Version actually uses the word dismayed here, which I like. But more perfectly, the Hebrew word here means to break down, to be prostrate, both in a literal and figurative sense. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have had literal breakdowns, where I am beside myself. I can't see left from right, up from down, and I can't even look to take the next step forward. God knows this. He knows that our flesh is prone to breakdowns, mental health, physical breakdowns, whatever the case may be. But he says, do not be afraid. Do not break down, for the battle is his. God is reminding us here that we don't have to end up in this place of brokenness and breakdown. If we are prostrate, it should be in a posture of prayer. Again, when Jehoshaphat was faced with fear, his immediate response was to seek the Lord. Why? For the battle is not ours, but God's. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, even though it often feels that way, but it against the power, the principalities, and the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness that is in this world. And that's something we have to continually remind ourselves, especially when there are people involved, because we want to believe it's the people, right? And really, it's just the enemy using certain people in our lives. The Lord's instructions were to go down against these people. In other words, prepare for battle. Get ready and go out. Put on your armor. Prepare your army. Get ready to go to battle. But as he continues, he says, you do not have to fight this battle, but you will see the salvation of the Lord. So this might not have made sense. Like, why do we have to put on all this stuff? Why do we have to get in our positions? Why do we have to do this just to go out and not fight? It seems like a waste of time. But they were still obedient, much like Noah and the ark, right? He was still obedient. And obedience is necessary when we are preparing for battle because we don't know what lies on the other side. So the result of all this, verses 24 and 25. When Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there were only corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Then Jehoshaphat and his people went to gather the plunder. They found among them an abundance of goods on the bodies and valuable items. So they stripped them until nobody could carry any more. They were gathering plunder for 3 days because there was so much. And as I was preparing for this sermon and just trying to hear what the Lord had to say, I wondered what would have happened if they had just stayed in the kingdom. Like, God said, you don't have to fight. So God's going to do his thing. Why do I have to go out, right? So they would have stayed in the comfort of the kingdom. If they had done so, they would have missed the blessing. Like, I believe that God still would have taken care of that army. He said he would, and he did so. But I think they would have missed the blessing. They would have traded treasure for comfort. How often does our lack of obedience lead to missing a blessing? How often do we jump the gun or don't do exactly as the Lord has said, and we end up missing the blessing, and we never even know it? They would have never known that there were 3 days worth of the spoils of war waiting for them, treasures upon treasures, because they would have stayed in the comfort of the kingdom. Thankfully, they did obey and did as he asked. How often do we trade the treasures of heaven for the comfort of this world? But maybe that's a sermon for another day. So verses 29 and 30, the terror of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands, when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then Jehoshaphat's kingdom was quiet, for his God gave him rest on every side. God often goes above and beyond what we ever ask or imagine. And I'm so thankful for that. Part of obedience in our lives was moving here to Michigan. We really felt the Lord's calling in multiple of ways, and I'm sure the same goes for my dad and mom. But it was very hard. I mean, at that point in time, I had no idea my dad was going to end up in Michigan as well. And so we were leaving my family. And that, it made no sense to me for so many reasons. But God has blessed that beyond measure. I have people here with me today that I wouldn't have in my life otherwise. And so I'm just incredibly thankful for the blessings that have come on the other side of that obedience. But if we had not done that, I would have missed out on the people that I now have in my life. So don't miss the blessing. God is going to go and do more than you expect. Not only did they get the spoils of war, they also had peace in their kingdom because nobody was going to fight them. They had seen what the Lord had done. In fact, it says, the terror of God was on all the kingdoms of the land, for he had fought against the enemies of Israel. That word fought there is actually in Hebrew literally translates to feed upon or consume. So the enemies of the kingdom had seen that the Lord consumed the enemy. It wasn't just fighting. He consumed them, fed upon them. So they were extremely terrified, and they wouldn't even touch Judah. So God gave them more than they asked or expected. In conclusion, the battles that we face might be difficult, but healing is so, so worth it. Don't give up. Push forward. Remember that Romans 8:28 reminds us that God will work all of it together for his good and glory. Sometimes it's hard to see that, even after the fact. Like, how could God ever bring good from this? But someday we're going to get to see that. On the other side of eternity, God is going to show us everything that we went through and how he used it for his glory and our good. He is with you always through the entire battle. And also, these battles bring opportunities to show you more of who he is. It's in those tough times of our lives, in those difficult moments, that I have been closer to God than ever before. It is those moments that teach me who he really is when I need him. So lean into those battles. I know that sounds rough, but lean in. Let him hold you. Let him take care of you and just be with you. So as you guys step into this journey of healing, as you prepare for battle, whether you're in a battle right now in your individual lives or not, I'm going to ask you to just focus on one of those three areas this week. Whether it is seeking the Lord, worship, or obeying the Lord. Take some time this week to pick one of those places. Do you need to seek the Lord more? Do you need to be in his word? Is that an area that you could strengthen more in your life? Do that this week. Is it worship? Does worship need to become your weapon? Have you lacked that in your life? Worship at home, worship in the car, especially when you're having a bad day. If you struggle with depression or anxiety, turn on the worship music. Seek him in those moments through worship, because worship is your weapon. We see that in this story. We see that throughout the Bible. And we see that in testimonies like Raise a Hallelujah. But also you need to obey. What is the Lord asking you to do in your life right now? Are you running from that? Are you just ignoring it? Maybe you need to lean into that obedience and do what he has asked of you, even if it seems silly. If it's just saying, you know what, you need to go tell that cashier that you really appreciate her work. Sometimes those little moments of obedience are what truly need to happen, and you never know what someone needs to hear. So just listen to what he is telling you, listen to what he has to say, and do it. Obey. So I'll let the worship team come on back up. And lead us again and Raise a Hallelujah. But I'll say a quick prayer here first. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that you have given us your word to help prepare us for a battle. Lord, we know that the enemy is real, but we know that you are victorious. And no matter what battle we face, you are with us and you are for us. Lord, you are going to fight our battles for us as long as we allow you. Remind us that we cannot do this on our own, but that we can only succeed with you at our side. Remind us to turn to prayer, to turn to worship, to turn to obedience when we are faced with battles in our lives. May we overcome those battles by your power. Lord, I pray over this church today, over Grass Lake, that you would bless their steps into healing, that you would protect them in this journey, and remind them that you are with them in every step. Lord, as the enemy comes and tries to stop them from taking these steps, please step in and remind them of who you are. In your precious holy name, amen. Okay, let's practice our weapons warfare. Raise a hallelujah. Thank you. have Jesus now doesn't mean we're impervious to attacks throughout the week. And it's so easy to say, I will sing when the battle rages, but to actually go out and do it is totally different. And I would like to also challenge you that it is not just about putting on worship music and letting that CD or that radio station do it for you. Sing. You sing. Who is going to try that this week? All right. I'm going to try to remember to ask you next week. Okay, so I'm going to pray and then I'll dismiss you. Father, I thank you for this precedent in your word. The Bible is not a book full of exceptions, meaning they don't apply to us. It is for us. And we do want to raise a hallelujah right in the midst of the battle when we feel like breaking down and hiding and crying, which happens more than we want to admit. So I just thank you for that principle. You laid it down, and it is an operating principle that will not change because you are a God that does not change. So help us in those moments to actually do it. And we're going to stand on your promises. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. You are dismissed. Praise God.
Roll up from the ashes, hope will.